Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TakeCast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the show, I'm joined by my buddy, Justice Mosqueda. You can read his work on the Acme Packing Company, or you can listen to him on the SB Nation NFL podcast twice a week. I had Justice on the show. He's a return guest to the show, but I had him on the show to discuss, you know, number one, why is scoring down in the NFL? We got to find an answer for this, and then kind of just go through some of the interesting quarterback situations throughout the NFL, including the rookie quarterbacks. And we also did a bonus Patreon episode of the show that you guys can find on patreon.com/takecast, and you'll get other bonus episodes there as well. And if you want to support the show, you can just leave a rating or review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's go ahead and get into the episode. All right, everyone, welcoming in a return guest to the show, Justice Mosqueda. I'm pretty sure I was close. I think I did it bang on the first time you came on. It would have been 2019, was year Baker and Lamar and all those guys got drafted.
Yeah, you added an S that wasn't there. Mosqueda. Okay. Mosqueda.
There we go. See, I should know because I grew up in the Midwest with like loads of Hispanic, but like I went to a school that was probably like, I should know. And I don't. And that's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. So I'm
first
a little embarrassed
the bat.
There.
First L off the bat.
So I wanted to have you on the show to, talk about the NFL because it's a very weird season. And then I want to talk a little bit about the rookie quarterbacks. But the weirdest thing, and I'm hoping you have more of like a football guy explanation for this because it's hard for me to find the answers to these questions. Why is scoring down so far? It's down like 8 points a game. This last week, the only total over 50, I think, was the Cowboys-Raiders game was the only game with a total over 50. And a couple of things I've heard is the re-emphasis of holding penalties. So last year was like the fewest holding penalties that has ever been called, and they're basically calling them at an average rate again. But I don't know if that would explain like a touchdown per game.
I think the biggest thing is how defenses are playing these quarterbacks now. Ugh, honestly,
ban it. Like, ban the fucking cover two, dude. Ban it.
I mean, it's what it is. Like, everyone played cover three after the Seahawks, and then they realized like, oh, what made the Seahawks good wasn't just like the defensive structure. It was that they were able to get home with four pass rushers that they basically weren't paying. You know what I mean? Like, when you have Cliff Averill and Michael Bennett just playing like pennies on the dollar, it's a lot easier to get pressure and then just have, you know, three guys playing deep zones with Earl Thomas playing the middle of the field and Richard Sherman taking away a sideline. Like, it's not a conducive game plan across the board for the NFL. There's not enough talent that can kind of adequately play that scheme across the board. So teams are just playing too high. I mean, there's a lot of times like you could watch the Packers, like the first six quarters of the season, they might not have seen like a middle of the field closed look. Like, it was all two safety looks. It forces quick game. It forces runs. I mean, I think that's just the league now, and everyone is getting.
Is it really that simple? The defenses are just saying like, you just got to run, dude. You just got to run because
they're we're taking a guy out of the box. Run. Like, we don't have enough numbers. Run. Do it. The quarterbacks are too good now. So they're like, we're just not even going to let
And offensive coordinators don't want to call running plays anymore.
Yeah. And some of these teams, like, they're bozos about it. Like, some of these teams, the way that they're like built These quarterbacks can't operate in the quick game. Like, I think that's part of the reason why too. Like, one of the reasons why you're seeing a guy like Russ struggle, a guy like Josh Allen struggle.
I can't like even, dude. This Russ stuff.
Russ is hurt too. So like, that's a whole other thing.
Three stone cold losses with one touchdown and the touchdown, or I guess two touchdowns, but the one to Freddie Swaim honestly should not count.
DK, when he got ejected in the Packers game, they asked him afterwards, you know, why do you throw those punches? He said, I'm tired of losing. And then Geno Smith just went on Twitter and, you know, was like, I want to say something, but I know I can't. And then deletes the tweet. Like, it seems like that locker room is definitely going to implode. They were talking about March Madness starting in November, all sorts of stuff. Like, get out of here, man. Like, you guys were eliminated weeks ago.
Well, but what's going to end up happening is Pete Carroll is going to win the power struggle and Russell Wilson is going to be like a Denver Bronco or a Carolina Panther.
Oh, right? Yeah. Russell make his list of teams I would go to if I actually wanted to go somewhere, but I don't want to go anywhere except for I'm telling my agent I want to be in New York. So, yeah.
Oh,
it's a mess.
Don't let him go to the Giants. Do not. If the Giants get bailed out for 4 years of Dave Gettleman ruining the roster.
Well, he wants to go to a big market, right? He wants to go to a big market.
Does he? Is that a thing? Say.
It was like Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. Those were like the teams that were on his list last time. I think the only exception was like New Orleans.
But does that even matter for Sierra? Like, she's so popular. Like, that doesn't even, I mean, she'd want to live in LA, right? That would be the spot she would actually, otherwise it's all the same. Maybe, yeah, New
they
York.
They got two quarterbacks better than Russ, though. LA right now. Well, Stafford's hurt too, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Stafford narrative is already getting out of control because
Wild. People are like, look, the Rams are idiots now. Like,
yeah.
I understand, like, the asset nerds, like the people who get horny over assets are like, you guys poorly mismanaged this. Okay, that was fine. That was true months ago. Also, Sean McVay is gonna try to win a ring and go do Monday Night Football for $10 million a year. That's what's happening right now. The thing with Stafford isn't a failure of like assets. Stafford is very clearly hurt. Like, Stafford's hurt, Baker's hurt, Russ is hurt. All those guys seem like they should be on the bench for like 2 weeks so that they can get healthy. And for whatever reason, they're playing through these injuries and it's only making their teams worse.
So do you buy this narrative that as the season goes on, teams figure out McVay? Again, I'm so bad at this on this show. I always see these tweets and I never credit people. But basically the summary is the Rams offense every year, every year McVay is coached, they've gone from like top five in EPA and yards per play to being like league average or worse in EPA and yards per play after week nine.
No, I've seen that, but I think this version of the McVay offense is just so different than the other ones. Like,
yeah,
before it was like, oh, jet motion and outside zone and, you know, boot action, right? Like that was,
yeah, they drafted Tutu Atwell to be the jet motion guy and then never played it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they added Duo a couple years ago, which is like think of it as like kind of like power without like a puller. It's just like down blocks, windshield wipers, just kind of taking guys out. And they use that to mesh it with zone because they had some issues with zone. So like, those are things that I think you could like figure out, right? Like mid season, you're like, oh, they're doing this now. So then we will adjust this way. Where now they're a progression passing team. Like, there's not really an answer to progression passing. So I don't really see that this year. I think it's more of just like, dude, Stafford's hurt. And
yeah, I mean, his first turnover this last week, it looked like his arm just like literally gave out, like in the middle of going back.
Dude, that Packers game, I mean, he was like 2 of 9 for like 20 yards before he had that huge shot play to Van Jefferson. It really does seem like at this point, it's like shot plays are nothing. Like, that's all he can do right now. And I don't know if that's conducive to winning ball games. I think the Rams are probably going to end up tanking down the standings, you know, as the season goes along, unless Stafford gets some time to be able to rest and heal. Like, he has an ankle, he has a shoulder, he has chronic back injury. Like,
yeah, he's been dealing with that back injury for like 6 years. And it's always this point of the season. You know, I obviously he used to be in Lions and we'd always hear like, oh, you know, he played through a stress fracture in his back. For the Detroit Lions, like a 4-win Detroit Lions team, he played through it. Okay, you'll probably know the answer to this question. What is the route concept that the Rams are running like the first 6 weeks of the season when Cooper Kupp would just be wide open. Like, I know you know the play I'm talking about.
The, like, literally, the triple move.
Like, he sometimes he would come out of the backfield and sometimes it would be out of the slot, and there literally just people would be 20 yards away from him. Like, what is the basis of this play that the Rams were running?
It's just a man beater, right? Like, it's like, okay, you think I'm running a double move, so you're biting on the second move. I'm actually running a triple move. I don't know the name of that route. Just because I would never be comfortable calling a play that has that
right, many
breaks on it.
Yeah.
Just because that feels very like 7-on-70 to me. Like, I know what's his name in Vegas does some of that stuff too. Renfro. But yeah.
Renfro routes. He'll have like six cuts before he breaks out into
his
route.
It's absurd. I'm like, how has Carr, like, they do like the, when it's like a Monday night football game or something, right? They'll do like the tight shot of like Renfro breaking five times. And my thought is just always like, how is Carr not sacked by now? Like, that's on the pass rush if you can't get home before his fifth cut. But yeah, I mean, Kupp has been doing great. And I think like one of the bigger things with Kupp that people don't really give him credit for is his size. Everyone forgets he's like 6'2". And
yeah,
that is a game changer. When you're able to get the ball in your hand the way he does, when you're able to get open short yardage, when you're able to do enough as a field stretcher and you're 6'2", that's such a big deal. Like McVay or LaFleur in the postgame presser basically said, like, our entire job defensively was like, we're trying to take away Cooper Kupp. And you can get shot plays with Van Jefferson. You can get shot plays with OBJ. We'll take them. You know, obviously each of them got like one big one last week, but like Cooper Kupp is like the guy there.
Yeah. I mean, he's like unbelievable because he can do like the sitting in the zone thing that good wide receivers can do. He can beat man coverage. You can run, you know, the DeAndre Hopkins like screen plays to him. Like it's like insane that they've always kind of had this weapon and basically split him like equal target. Like every year, him and Robert Woods are pretty much neck and neck for targets. And I mean, Robert Woods is good, but he's not like Cooper Kupp. Like I've gained a newfound respect for him with how unreal he's been this year.
Yeah. Them going into the gun, I think helped him a whole lot, right? Like with Jared Goff, they basically didn't want to run drop back pass game in terms of like just straight up passing without play action, especially under center. Like the Rams, what their innovation actually was basically like, when we're under center, we're just not going to throw him unless it's off of play action, because Goff wasn't good at it. He has a low release. He's not a very accurate quarterback. But I do think that kind of hurt, you know, some of the potential of what Cooper Kupp is, because like if you're just using Cooper Kupp to run crossers off of play action, like anyone can do that.
It's
just linebackers biting down in the zone. And now that Stafford's able to kind of operate in the gun, I think that opens up like a world of possibilities for him.
Well, is it similar to what the Packers do with Devontae? I mean, Adams actually has even a harder job because he's the only good player on their team. Like Van Jefferson would get 100 targets if he was a Packer. Robert Woods would get 130 targets if he was a Packer. Tyler Higbee even Higbee would have an expanded role if he was a Packer. Like Devontae Adams' job, like I feel like he really is taken for granted because when is the last time the Packers had a good secondary pass catcher? Like before Cobb was dust, it's gotta be, right?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, it must be, because it's not like anyone's left in free agency.
I mean, Scantling has never been good. Lazard has never been, like, Lazard is like a red zone guy because he's so big, but he's not fast.
Lazard is weird because he's kind of like a nickel check. So like he's so big, and they like motion him down to like a wing tight end so often that like if teams go into nickel, they'll just say, okay, we're running right at you. And now we functionally have like two tight ends between like, you know, a Mercedes Lewis and an Alan Lazard. And it's very hard to have that nickel corner play like Sam linebacker against that, you know? So like, that's kind of how they play it. The Packers, I mean, they have so many redundant bodies at outside receiver, just like everyone is big, right? Like that's reason why they didn't want Cobb in there. At least Gutekunst didn't want Cobb, was like, they're so redundant there that like everyone blocks. So that when the RPO is open for Davante Adams to get a screen that they can actually do it. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like their game plan. But yeah, I mean, Adams, their whole plan offensively is like, are you doubling or rotating coverage to Adams or not? And like, everything is based off of that. I feel like Aaron Jones is probably like their second pass catching target.
Yeah, honestly. But not anymore, dude. Not anymore. Yeah. Aaron Jones done been cucked. He's missed 1 week and AJ Dillon's like, I'm not going anywhere. I think that's going to be a real thing for them. And I don't know if you're buddies with these guys, but like the Cheesehead TV guys who were, you know, defending, I can never say the Packers GM's last name. If they were defending this guy who, you know, the Jordan Love stuff and it was Jordan Love, AJ Dillon and Josiah DeGuerra, all of who like did not factor in at all to the NFC conference championship run, you know, they're going to feel like they got it right because AJ Dillon is like, they're going to play like a cold weather playoff game in the divisional round or whatever. And AJ Dillon is going to like lose his mind. He's going to have like 22 carries for 140 yards and 2 touchdowns. And people are going to be like, see, he knew the whole time.
Yeah, it's going to be great. DeGuara too is now like functionally their starting tight end, depending on how you want to break out.
So he runs more routes, but Lewis blocks more.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like third downs, like DeGuara is out there every single time. Yeah, I mean, the other thing is like DeGuara gets his ass ripped by Aaron Rodgers frequently. Like no one gets yelled at.
Buddy, like everyone gets their ass ripped by Aaron Rodgers.
No, it's him. It's him specifically. Like you'll watch the next primetime Packers game and keep an eye open for when Rodgers inevitably rips someone's ass, and it's always going to be DeGuara. It's amazing. It's him or Royce Newman, the right guard, who's a
he's like my least favorite quarterback to watch on TV. Like I'm just imagining like being a teammate of him. Not that I have any high level sporting experience, but I'm just like, it would be so miserable to play with you. Like it just, I don't think a lot of the guys feel that way. Like obviously Cobb wanted to come back and play with him, and you know, Adams loves him. But I do remember when Jeff Janis came on this show and was like, that dude was a dickhead to me. And it was like a thing. It was like, and it got picked up by the aggregators. And I, like, there were other former Packers that were like, yeah, dude, that sucked. It sucked to play with him. I mean, like it feels like it's so arbitrary, right? Like he's like, oh, I love Jake Kumerow and got mad when they cut Kumerow. But like, I mean, what's the point?
He definitely does play favorites. The other guys are like Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley,
James Jones.
James Jones likes him, but Greg Jennings, JerMichael Finley, they like any chance, like anytime the Rodgers rumors start of like anything of like when McCarthy was gone, all that stuff, like they jump on it and they're like, let me tell you about how I hate this guy.
So, which I mean, I get it. Cause it
seems like there's people who are with him and people who are against him. Like there's a line and it is drawn. Like, I don't know how else to explain it other than that.
All right, so let's talk about these rookie quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, it feels like he is in a situation, like his situation is better, I guess, than what Justin Fields is in terms of like feeling like his coaches are like actively sabotaging him. But I mean, has Trevor Lawrence had like one moment as good as Justin Fields, the touchdown throw to Jesse James, where he's like scrambling to his left and darts that touchdown in there? Like I feel like Lawrence has not had one of those holy shit moments.
No, and he's losing a lot of games, and a lot of those games are being lost because of him. The one thing that I will say, there is no if you watch the Jaguars offense, and again, don't look at it like directly, you know, in the eye, because you might like have your retinas burned,
right?
But if you watch the Jaguars offense, there are no training wheels, none. Like he is learning like every lesson you can learn in the NFL.
Yeah, there's none of that stuff Stefanski was doing with Baker. None of it.
No, this is all like straight up. Like we just talked about how the Rams, right? They went from a, you know, a play action team to like true progression passing. Like that's who the Jags are. They don't know how to do anything else. Like Bevel, all those guys, like they're running like the Seattle Seahawks offense, you know, like the Russell Wilson gun stuff. So it's deep progression passing game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Lawrence, because he had to learn all these lessons in such a hard way,
ends up being better for it.
Yes, with such little talent around him, ends up being a lot better, a lot faster than these other quarterbacks. But obviously right now it's, you know, not looking good. The other thing too is like Urban Meyer talks about team speed every week and he's like, oh man, we just don't have enough speed. It's like, dude, you had a draft and a free agency. You were in charge of this, bud.
And I mean, look, I don't even want to be like a running backs matter guy, but like, I feel like ETN is a guy who's just super useful at the NFL level. Cause not because like, oh, he's going to be the difference between them winning six games and them winning two games or whatever, but you can do a lot more screen stuff with him than you can do with James Robinson or Carlos Hyde. You can do more like jet motion stuff. You can get a little bit more creative with like pistol stuff. Which I guess Lawrence probably has never run before, but just a lot more you can do. And Lawrence's best game of the season, week one, DJ Shark has like 180 air yards or whatever. And then he was bad against Denver and he was bad against Arizona, but we kind of know now that those defenses are better than we thought at the time. Denver's like a weird team. They're like totally schizophrenic, but it does feel like replacing DJ Shark with Tavon Austin, Jamal Agnew, Laquan Treadwell, and then forcing Chenault to play outside, which he can't do at all. Like literally, no one is less equipped.
He should be Cordero Patterson, and yes, that's who he should have been. Like this whole time, we're gonna learn in 5 years when someone finally figures out how to use him right, and they're like gonna be like, "Wow, he should have been CPAT." And it's like I don't know why it takes so long for us to just kind of accept who guys are. But yeah, I mean, when Jamal Agnew is running routes out of the backfield and that's like your best option in the passing game, that's bad. He's a return man. He's a Pro Bowl return man, but he's a return man. Like
he learned how to play wide receiver from watching YouTube videos during COVID lockdown. That's what he said.
Oh my goodness. Cause he was a corner convert, right?
Yep. I don't think he played wide receiver in college at all.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's tough. Trevor Lawrence, I feel bad for you, bud. We're going to get you out of there.
Yeah, before this season, he had 15 receptions over 4 years. Jamal Agnew did.
Yeah.
Whew. And then he was pretty much an every down player for the Jaguars. And they also have been, I don't know if this is a Lawrence thing. I don't know if this is a Urban Meyer thing. I don't know if this is a Darrell Bevell thing, but they just have keep casting these anonymous tight ends in like starring roles. Like it was O'Shaughnessy, then O'Shaughnessy hurt his ankle. Then they traded for Dan Arnold. Then it was Arnold. Now Arnold's hurt again. So it's going to be O'Shaughnessy again because he's back off the designated for return IR. And that doesn't feel good either.
No, Dan Arnold. The other thing too, is like, he's not any good.
No,
he is no good. Kind of feels like they shouldn't have wasted the whole offseason on the whole Tim Tebow thing, huh? Crazy.
Yeah, that was
funny how that works. Maybe they should have gotten real answers at tight end instead of giving Urban's buddy one a job. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, some people are like kind of like long-term concerned about Trevor Lawrence. Like I'm not.
I wouldn't be.
I would be a little bit if Urban Meyer is still the coach next year. Like that will bum me out a little bit. But if that feels like 50-50 at this point, I was saying this on TV the other day. I think that win over the Bills like bought him this entire season though. Like if they don't win that game, I think he could get fired after like some terrible loss or whatever. But I think that win bought him all of this year at least.
I think he would have to leave. I don't think they'll fire him.
Yeah.
Will he leave is an interesting story. Is an interesting question because will he leave starts with can he leave. Would a college program take on Urban Meyer? And
well, what his wife said Notre Dame was one of his dream jobs, right?
Yeah, but like, can the Catholics even cover up what Urban Meyer has to go through? Like, I don't know. I'm saying this as a Catholic. You can't come at me. No.
I mean, it's a good question. I feel like Urban Meyer was so successful at college that if he wanted to leave, any team would take him. I don't think so, man.
Like they had what's his name? Brett McMurphy did a poll with like P5 ADs, and he said that like 80% of them said that they wouldn't touch him. He's dancing with the co-eds and like in this climate.
Yeah, but so was Coach O.
And they got his ass out of there.
Like, I think
if
LSU, if LSU had won 9 games this year, he'd still be the coach.
I think the bigger thing with LSU is it seemed like the players quit on him. And I don't mean like quit as like bang the kids for it. I'm saying like these dudes were on the training table and were like, I don't want to play for this guy. You know what right. I mean? So like when that stuff starts happening, you're like, oh yeah, we have to make a change. You know, when the players talk to you, you got to listen.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, it's reasonable or whatever. I can't convince myself to be worried about him. Like, I think, I don't think it's like a Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen type situation.
No,
like he'll play out his entire rookie contract, but I do feel as if, like big NFL media lied to us a little bit about how good he was. Cause you know, it's so narrative based. Cause you know, he came in so young and was so incredible at Clemson and was so good in a couple, you know, big spots. Also, I can't remember. He was horrible in one of their playoff games. I don't remember which one it was, but I do feel a little bit lied to, because I don't really know what I'm looking for when I see a quarterback. Like, mostly out of college guys, I just want to see that they're like not scared of any situation. That's like the number one thing I want to see out of college guys. And after that, I don't really know, but I feel a little bamboozled. I feel a little hoodwinked.
Expectations are always tough, because like what I thought,
that's what I'm saying, is the expectations were that he was going to come in and just be amazing.
Yeah, because I was talking to Jags fans this offseason, because for whatever reason I just have a ton of them in my life, and the line I always gave them was like, I am expecting a Jared Goff season out of Trevor Lawrence's rookie year. Like, that is just like reasonably what we can expect out of a quarterback like that right now. And they were all like up in arms, like, I can't believe you, why would you say that, like, I'm screenshotting this so I could show you this in like December. But like, they're rookie quarterbacks. Like, look at the history of rookie quarterbacks. They're almost always
terrible. Bad.
Terrible. Yeah. Like, terrible, not even just bad, terrible. If you get average, you're very happy. The Dak Prescott, Russell Wilsons of the world, like, there's few and far between, man. So
it's true.
I just have very little expectations for rookie quarterbacks at this point.
All right, Zach Wilson. I would.
It's bad.
It's bad. I would say it would be a lot easier to be like, you know, whatever. We can't really judge him. They don't really have. I mean, I guess they have like some wide receivers. Like, Corey Davis is not terrible. Elijah Moore looks really good, though they weren't really playing him to start the year. But the fact that Flacco and Mike White looked so competent.
And Josh Johnson, put some respect on the
extra and Josh Johnson. Yeah, Josh Johnson came in and crushed against the Colts, like, down, you know, 30 points or whatever. It's just like, it's very disheartening to see these total loser quarterbacks be able to handle an offense so much better than this young kid.
That plus the rumors of like, yeah, maybe we will start Mike White when Zach Wilson is healthy, if he has a good game. And then, you know, the wheels just completely fall off on the Mike White train. Plus the whole, like, we're hiring John Beck, Zach Wilson's personal quarterback coach, to come in and try to fix him. This is coming off of, you know, Zach Wilson missing the summer because of a contract dispute too. Like, a lot,
which
of
was like the dumbest thing ever,
over like very small contract details. Like, Woody Johnson, pay the damn man, get him in camp, get him the reps. Like, what are we doing here? A lot of this seemed like avoidable, but like at the same time, at this point, like, it's a thing now. So now it's like a, what is it? It's like a fishbowl, right? Everyone's looking in. So yeah. I don't know. If there's one quarterback situation that I'm like, actually like, oh no, this might not work out at this point, it's definitely Zach Wilson. I'm not willing to, you know, put the dirt on his grave at this point, but it's pretty much as bad of a rookie year as you can expect.
He made one throw. Right. Who was it? I think it was against Tennessee, like the one, like, off platform, like 60 yard, drop it in the bucket throw. That was the entire thesis behind why they drafted him ahead of Lance and Fields and Mac Jones, which I think like everyone universally thought it was dumb at the time. Like, I don't know. I thought Wilson was the fourth best of these quarterbacks. And that, I mean, that looks wrong too, because Mac Jones is way better than I thought he would be. But I it feels like they're probably going to go full Jets and fire the coach too. Feels like they're probably going to recycle him and give him a new coach.
Salah? We'll see. The thing about Salah is, like, Salah is kind of the locker room guy, and I think we're seeing it now in San Francisco, like, what it looks like with Kyle Shanahan without having that guy, you know, that strong voice in the room that's, like, kind of player-oriented.
Right.
Salah was, like, he knew what time and that's another thing that, like, Brian Flores did, right? Like, when you get these prickly quarterback situations and the young kid isn't ready to play, you got to bench the young guy to keep the locker room going, man. Like, point blank period. Like, that's the situation you got to be in. And I think that's what he was thinking with, like, the Mike White stuff when, like,
his they said that they were chanting his name in the locker room.
Yes, dude. It was like when do you remember Ryan Fitzpatrick when he was with the Jets and Geno got his face punched in and then
over $600.
Yeah, and then Fitzpatrick comes back in and like the whole like locker room is like, hey, like taking selfies with him. Sometimes you gotta ride with who the locker room wants sometimes. And I don't know if like Zach Wilson isn't buying these guys dinners or what or what's going on. But...
Well, he's a loser, right? He went to some loser school. His family is all like super weird on social media. Like he's like not like, I don't know, guys like that. If we're just talking about it with Rodgers and Rodgers can get away with it because he's so amazing. If Aaron Rodgers was playing like Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, I have a feeling that that behavior would not fly in the locker room to the same degree.
Yeah. And going back to Miami, I guess like the Josh Rosen thing. I mean, that's one of the things too, is like, you cannot find a guy who's played with Josh Rosen who has something nice to say about Josh Rosen, which is
yeah, that amazing. probably ended his career way fast. Like some team would have tried to make him a reclamation project. It Paxton Lynch, right? Same thing. High draft. Yeah. No one liked him. And if no one likes you and you're not really workable, like teams are just going to give up on you.
Yeah.
Cause there's no and point.
The other thing too, is when you say that, like that's coaching staff, that's players of vastly different backgrounds and none of them liked him. So like, yeah, when you hear stuff like that, you're just like, ah, guy must be a dick. Like, yeah. What else can I say?
And I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to put anything on Zach. Like no one, I don't think, not to my knowledge, no one's come out and been like, this guy sucks, but it would not surprise me if we start to hear that stuff in the off season. Like, oh, he was a pain in the ass to work with. He would get mad at practice or like not, you know, not do the right things. Cause coaches hate that shit. When guys are not, it's why guys like Jalen Hurts is like a warrior, but he's not a very good practice player. And I think the same is true of like lots of those kind of like athlete style quarterbacks. They're just not as good in practice. Cause so much of what they do is just like reacting to things in games. Coaches right. just hate that stuff. They hate when guys don't put in good practices.
Yeah. I think part of it too is like, you're not going live in practices either. So
true.
Like quick yeah. whistles, all that stuff, like that works against those type of guys. But yeah, I mean, to your point, no one said that about Zach Wilson. I think the bigger thing to me is just like, it feels like the steering wheel is slipping out of your hand, right? So like this offseason has to be a big deal. Obviously, this year has basically been punted. But what we've seen of Wilson is about as bad as we can kind of expect.
At least they beat Houston. At least they found a way to beat. If they lost that game.
I had money on Houston, actually. Yeah. I was convinced. I was like, the Jets, when Wilson's in there, they're the worst team in the league.
They're so bad.
They came away with that one. We'll see if they could string a couple together. But
So Lance is pretty interesting because he actually did get a start because of injury. And to be honest, he actually looked a little bit better just in terms of like controlling what was going on around him than I expected him to. Cause he is 21 years old. He really had not played a competitive game in 18 months. He played cause he had the one exhibition game, but basically his final season at North Dakota State got canceled. Super young, super raw. He threw one awful, awful interception in that Arizona game, but it was that interception he threw. It was the awful kind where I was like, I see what he was going for there. He just was like too jazzed up and just rifled it in there. So like, I feel like a lot of people are ready to jump off the Lance thing because they've been winning with Jimmy G, but I feel like pretty optimistic about him actually. Cause I just think the tools every time I've seen him play are so obvious.
The thing with Lance is I'm not off of Lance, but like the fit just seems so toxic, right? Like it doesn't right. seem like San Francisco wants to use him. It
feels like weird. Shanahan got bullied into drafting him.
Yeah. With three first round picks. Like what else? that must, like, when you make a move like that, franchise like wide, you have to be bought in. Like, that is your baby. Your entire franchise is decided off of, like, does this guy succeed or not? The other thing too is, like, it seems like his mechanics are, like, broken. Like, he, to your point where you're saying, like, he threw that interception because he, like, looked amped up, like, skittish at the same time as, like, excited, right? There's a lot more of that this year than he ever showed on tape at North Dakota State. Like, North Dakota State is a, like,
formation. Yeah, they play competitive games.
Well, not even that. They're like, pro-style football. Like, this should have been, like, a plug-and-play type of situation, and it obviously wasn't. So, like, he probably needs practice time. But, like, if they're not going to give him practice time, what can you do? It just seems like it's, like, a cycle, right? It's, like, Kyle doesn't want to play him because he's not ready, because he's not
– well, if
he doesn't know the offense because he's not getting practice time. And then it's, like, just a loop.
We would have gotten the answer to this question if they lost that Rams game in week 10, because they effectively would have been eliminated at that point. And I also think that's another tricky locker room situation where the guys are winning. They're loving Jimmy right now, and they're all getting their numbers, right? Debo's eating, Ayuk's coming on. You know, the running backs are getting their stuff like that. The offense has been really good. So I feel like that's an impossible thing for them to do right now. But had they lost that Rams game, they would have been 3-6, basically in the same situation as the Seahawks with, you know, and then the Jaguars game would have been a perfect spot to, like, put him in the starting lineup again, but didn't end up happening, which is a bummer because I drafted a bunch of Trey Lance in fantasy football, just ready for him to run. And he did look good as a runner, like very, like Cam-esque as a runner, just like a huge dude. He's going to put his shoulder into you.
Yeah, I just think they need a full offseason. It'll be interesting to see, like, because Jimmy still has time on his contract, right? Like, what if they run it back with Jimmy next year? Who knows? Like,
isn't Jimmy's contract done?
Let me look it up.
This is I feel like Lance is I've read that he's, like, got to be locked into starting. Yeah, so
he has one more.
He's got one more year, but he's only $1.4 million of dead cap. Jimmy is next year, so they could trade him or cut him very easily, which I feel like there's got to be a trade market for him, because this is what we do every year. We go into this, we're in the offseason, we're like, well, every team has their quarterback, right? Every team's got a quarterback. And then you get to week 8 and you're like, shit, nobody has a quarterback. There's 10 good quarterbacks and everyone else is bad.
Yeah, the Steelers, like, what would the Steelers
the Steelers right should trade for... they should trade a first round pick. If the Steelers trade a first round pick for Jimmy G, they'd probably be a playoff team.
Yeah, exactly. So
Browns. The Browns. Like, what are they going to do with Baker? I don't know. I might rather take Jimmy over Baker at this point.
Yeah, I think the Browns thing is, like, Baker being like, "No, I'm not giving Case Keenum any more film."
Yeah.
over my dead body. I'm not giving Case Keenum any more film, because every time he gets a snap, my price goes down.
Yeah, that loss to, or that win against the Broncos when Baker was banged up, was pretty bad for his bargaining. Yeah. Like, yeah, because he wants Jared Goff money, and I don't know if he's going to get Jared Goff money at this point.
Yeah, I wouldn't unless you want to derail your franchise.
I don't know. It's like, what do they do though? Well, because they have a roster that theoretically could win a Super Bowl. Right? They're elite. I mean, I guess a little bit less now without Odell, because before it was like, we got Odell, we got Landry, we paid Hooper and Njoku all this money. We got an offense that we think can compete, and maybe they don't feel that way now that they have, you know, DPJ and Rashard Higgins and shit.
Well, the other thing too is, we just talked about, you know, sometimes you got to listen to the locker room. The Cleveland Browns dads.
Yeah, they all say, unified, fuck this guy.
They unified against Baker Mayfield. First it was OBJ's dad, and then it was Kareem Hunt's dad. They hate this guy. They hate this guy.
I can see why playing with Baker would be very frustrating, because he's made all this money. You know, he's on all these commercials. Like, Baker's, like, considered the star of the team, and you're in there on film every Monday, and you're like, this sucks. Like, our whole team is built around protecting this guy. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and, like, he's about to get paid even more than everyone else. And he does all the hardo, you know, forward facing media stuff where he's like,
right,
oh, the fans don't like me. I don't care. They're loud when we're on offense. It's hard to make audibles. Like, get out of here. No one wants to hear that, Baker.
All right. Fields. I just explain it to me. What is going on? Like, is Fields bad? Were we wrong to be so excited about Fields? Is it Nagy? Does the off, like, what is the deal?
I think he just needs time. Like, some of the throws that he makes, dude, like, in terms of the high level throws, he's the top guy in this rookie class, right? In terms of what we've seen so far this year, in terms of, like, you could put up like his best 10 throws of the season and say, you know, you don't complete these by accident. And those are better than anyone else's like 10 best plays, I guess I would say. Chicago right now, I think, is just a mess top down. I mean, seems like every event in the state of Illinois includes a Fire Nagy chant, including Nagy's kids' high school football game. They just did it in the Chicago Bulls game yesterday, where like you could hear it during like free throws. It's bad. I think they just need to move on from Nagy, and the Bears have never fired a coach in season, so they're just like don't want to do it. So I guess we're
that's
not
so
get that
weird.
Until.
That's like a weird thing to it's, have. It's like
it's very dumb. The Packers were the same way until McCarthy, and then McCarthy lost to a Josh Rosen Arizona Cardinals team at home, and they were like, "We got to do it. I'm sorry, we got to pull the plug." But yeah, I mean, I just don't think anyone there in Chicago is going to be there long term, other than Justin Fields. So that is your franchise now. Congrats. You need some time though.
And they got, I mean, they have to figure out wide receiver too, because Allen Robinson's going to be gone. Like,
he's
no way.
Definitely leaving.
Yeah.
He's definitely leaving.
He's gone.
He seems like a guy who is not happy.
I guess they got lucky with Mooney too. Like, the fact that it seems like Mooney can play is kind of saving them, because if it was a bad or a reduced version of Darnell Mooney, Damir Bird, and Marquise Goodwin as your three wide receivers with your rookie quarterback, it would be even uglier than it is. And Komet too. I mean, Komet is like, I guess he's not great, but he's like fine.
Yeah. The Bears are a mess, I think. Like, everything off, like, even their offensive line situation, like, they drafted Tevin Jenkins. He ended up having a back injury that they weren't privy to going into the draft. They cut their left tackle because they were able to make that signing. And then, what's his name? Jason Peters was playing out there at left tackle for a while. And he's just, I mean, he's 40, man. He's getting his butt beat all the time. So, like, it's just a mess. Like, you thought you had too many tackles. You, in fact, had zero tackles. Like, just a bad plan across the board. You gave Andy Dalton all these developmental snaps over the offseason so that he could learn your offense, because he's never been in Chicago before. Meanwhile, your top 10 pick quarterback was riding the pine just watching practice,
just like, hanging out. Yep.
Just seems like bad process, dude. Just seems like bad process. The other thing too is, like, they try to make him run the Andy Dalton stuff for like 3 weeks, and then it finally they got away from it and they're like, oh, you're a different quarterback than Andy Dalton. It's like, yeah, who do you think you were drafting, dude? Like, what's wrong with you?
I don't and I mean, it does feel like every chance they get, the coaches complain about the new practice rules, right? Like, and have for years, because these practice rules have been in place. I think, 4 years, the new practice rules have been in place. And it does feel like it is limiting some of what these rookie quarterbacks can do. But I don't know. I think the answer moving forward has just got to be either you start the veteran quarterback for 16 weeks and you don't expose the rookie quarterback unless you have to. Or you spend the entire, like what the Jaguars did, which is Trevor Lawrence is the dude. We're trading the guy that the fans want to be on the roster in Gardner Minshew, and you just go in with the guy. Because it feels like you get the worst results possible when you are like mixing and matching the young guy and the veteran.
Yeah, like the fake quarterback battle in the offseason is very dumb. The other thing too is, like, the Jets, I think Mike White is the only guy who is with them in the offseason, and Zach Wilson wasn't playing for most of like OTAs and stuff like that because of that contract dispute. So, like,
yep,
just get these guys in the door. Like, don't, they already slated what like the contract numbers are. So you're just arguing over like offset money that he's already going to get when push comes to shove. Like, just give him the damn money, get him in camp, get your football team ready. Like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. And then Mac Jones, the who's played the best of all of them. The Patriots are top of the division right now. You know, it's easy to kind of hate on, because we all hate the Patriots, right? And so it's kind of easy to be like, oh yeah, you know, he's checking down and the system is all in place and everything. And the Patriots, you know, to be credit to them, they didn't even give a chance to have like a QB controversy. They, what was it, 10 days before the season, they just cut. And I think they were kind of waiting for it because it sounded like Mac had started to take first team reps at practice to begin with. And he's been unbelievable. I mean, not like he's like dazzling you with every throw, but one of the most important skills is just like figuring out how to run an offense, and he can already do it at 23 or whatever.
It was either the first or second preseason game that I was watching. And it was, so they came out of the second half, right? And you would have thought, all right, Mac Jones is going back to the bench. And what they ended up doing was they ran hurry up, no huddle for a whole drive. Just basically tossed Mac Jones the keys and said, go score points, right?
Yep.
That's when you could tell they were trying to battle test Mac Jones and that they wanted him to start, you know, this season. At least that's what it looked like to me. Patriots now, they're third in scoring. Six straight wins. Great team in terms of operating at the line of scrimmage. I think they know exactly who they are. They do a lot of unique things in the run game. This is just a really good fit, I think. Like,
yeah, it is a really good fit.
I think he's going to be probably like a Kirk Cousins type of quarterback, like in terms of his career, just because of his athletic and arm strength limitations. But it's just a great fit. Like, he's with a head coach who is willing to spend hours. You know, if you listen to Dean Pease, who is the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, he'll tell you, you know, Bill, when he was there, didn't even coach defense. His job was like, I sit in meetings with Tom and like get him ready for games. Like, if you have a guy who's willing to do that, and Mac Jones is kind of like that type of learner, and you're running an offense that,
yeah, it does seem like he just gets what's going on, like way, yeah, like way faster than
it
all
seems
the other
like he's
quarterbacks.
Like, I am this exact piece of the puzzle. Okay.
Yeah.
I will be a very good piece of machinery. Like, it's a great fit, and it's cool to see him thrive early on. Frankly, like, this Patriots team might be the best team in the AFC. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Chiefs, ooh, are still the best team. They are.
Get real. Okay. Sure.
They are, dude. It's people don't want it to be true. Right. People don't want to know that it's just going to be Chiefs versus the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl again, but it is.
All right. I don't believe this Chiefs team.
I don't believe in
Jordan Love almost beat this Chiefs team.
I don't believe in the defense at all. Right. The people talking about the Chiefs defense improving, they just got to run. So they play Jordan Love and Jordan Love's first career start. They play Daniel Jones right before Jason Garrett got fired. And they played, I guess, Carr, whatever. And then they played a Cowboys team without Amari Cooper, and the having the wide receivers win one-on-one is like the most important thing to Kellen Moore's offense. And they didn't have one of their guys. So I don't believe that, but the reason why the Chiefs are the best team is they have now had the full season to work out the thing that teams were going to throw at them, which is the cover two bullshit that should be banned. You shouldn't even be allowed to do it in the NFL. And the Chiefs are a far less fun team now. They're not going to be fun to watch. I actually think we're already moving into Mahomes turning into a game manager when he needs to really early on,
yeah,
in his career, which is like, the saying those words really bums me out.
Making him do it. Defense is making him do it.
But listen, the difference is he is a game manager who three times a game can do something that no other quarterback on earth can do. And that in the playoffs is going to be the difference. And that's why the Chiefs are the best team. It brings me no joy to report this because I hate the team that they've become. They're not fun to watch anymore, but it just is what it is.
The other thing too, I feel like Kelsey's washed. I want to put that on.
No, he is washed. That is correct.
Teams are legit. Like, when they go into 12 personnel against the Chiefs, teams match them in nickel. So like what that means is two wide receivers on the field, right? Teams are coming out with three cornerbacks because they're putting the other corner on Kelsey because they're not treating him like a tight end. They're treating him like a wide receiver who's just a little slower than most wide receivers. So that's a very interesting thing because I feel like tight ends usually, right? Like it's that matchup thing, right? It's like, hey, you put a corner on me, we're going to run the ball. You put a DB or linebacker on me, or a safety or linebacker on me, we're going to throw it. And now teams are just saying, no, we can cover you with a corner. Like, we can just do it.
Yep, because you can't bully me anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a very different dynamic. I think this early Chiefs lull, I guess I would say, in the season was the combination of teams are very committed and playing too high, and we don't treat Travis Kelce like he's a tight end anymore. I think those were the two things that they had to work out.
Yeah, and I mean, look, they started to show they'll run the ball when you give them the light box, which
they always looked good the first drive of the game, which was the funniest thing. Like, you could go back to the Giants game, you could go back to the Packers game.
Oh, well, yeah, that's an Andy Reid thing, though. They're always good. They're always good on script.
But, like, just run the same plays. Run the same plays, because it's all, like, RPO, chippy, like, we're moving down the field, like, against too high structure. That's what you need to do. And then after that first drive, they're like, all right, Mahomes hero ball. And you're not in that league anymore, man. You're not in that league.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I can't even believe we're going here, but like them finally benching Hardman for Pringle, I do think has started to, that has yielded some positive results. And look, they just had their bye. Kelce got some time to rest up. I could see Kelce having a very similar impact to like what Buccaneers Gronk has been, which is he's not going to get 12 targets a game anymore, but it actually happened in the Cowboys game when it came time for them to get a couple first downs on like second and long, third and long. Kelce went and did his zone sitting thing, and Kelsey's going to be able to go sit in the zone when he's 38, you know, like he'll still be able to do that. And people love to hate on Andy Reid because he's so shitty in game, but he will figure, like, he and has started to figure out how to change their offense as a result of that stuff.
I still am very shaky about that defense and what the offense looks like. So I guess I'll have to see it to believe it, but I mean, I've been wrong before.
Well, I've been wrong about the Chiefs a million times before. And I think the biggest difference is, I think the biggest difference is that, so let's say the Patriots are better, right? They have healthier skill position players right now. You know, they don't have anyone as good as Tyreek, but like,
no, they have no team speed. That's the one thing that kills them.
But they, you know, they have a bunch of competent wide receivers. They have a bunch of competent running backs. The defense is really good, but you just know that Mac Jones literally is not making, he's not going to be the game changer. He's not going to do something that breaks like the physics of the sport. And, you know, Mahomes can do that stuff. Herbert can do that stuff. And that's why they're not the best team in the AFC. They
beat the crap out of the Chargers though. And they'll do it.
You know what? They might even be the best team, like holistically 1 through 53, include the coaches and everything. And I still probably would bet against them in an AFC conference championship game, sight unseen on who the opponent is.
It would depend on who played against them. I would say like Baltimore can't cover any, like they'll be able to walk up and down Baltimore in the passing game, just like quick passes. The Chargers cannot stop a run at all, and the Patriots will run the ball, like unlike any other team in the league, just in terms of like style. Kansas City's tough, right? Because Kansas City's the one where it's like, if Mahomes gets up two scores and he has the potential to get up two scores on this Patriots defense, I don't know how Mac Jones gets you out of that hole.
That's what I'm saying.
The one matchup where I'm
Mahomes like, can get tough. You. Mahomes can get you out of a two touchdown hole. It might not be. Right. It might not be how they want to play, but you can do it, right? He can generate 14 points in like 4 minutes of game clock. Right? I mean, what, they were down 21-3 against the Texans, and they came back and at 28 in the first half or whatever. But like they can still do that, I think.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. I just believe in the Pats. I'm getting ready for the Patriots-Packers Super Bowl. Patriots-Packers or Patriots-Bucks? I'm gearing up.
I think the Packers lose again to the Buccaneers if they're there in the conference game. I'm sorry.
I think there's a good chance of it. I think there's a good chance of it. Like I can see it already. It's like Leonard Fournette. He's running.
Buccaneers power. Are just – it's so annoying because we all hate Tom Brady, but like they're just going to do it. And it's just – it's like you just are so annoyed by it. You feel it coming. You watch them and there's no joy in watching them, but you just know they're going to do it.
I terrible. Do think, that's a tough one. I think the Packers can beat the Cowboys. They can beat the Rams. They can beat the Cardinals. It really is the Bucks again, which just will be nightmare fuel for me.
Yeah. All right, guys, we are, we're going to get out of here. We're going to go chat for a little bit on the Patreon version of the show, but you can check out Justice's stuff on the Acme Packing Co, and you are on the SB Nation NFL podcast twice a week.
Twice a week. Yep. On Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yep. All right. And you guys can follow him on Twitter at Jumosk, and you can let him know how correct or correct some of these takes were.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.